Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Reaching Out Radio International and this week's live broadcast of The Way of Healing. My name is Susan Brozek. I'm a licensed clinical Christian psychotherapist and founder of Healing Word Psychotherapy Services, my private practice located in Mequon, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining me this evening. Before we go any further, let's get started by opening up in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for each person that's tuned in to listen this evening, Lord. We pray, God, that as we broach this subject once again, Lord, of grieving and comfort for the grieving and losses, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move amongst hearts, Lord God, that you would minister to those that are listening tonight that might be going through a loss, that might be right in the midst of a grieving process, Lord God. We pray that they would feel your nearness and your comfort, Lord God. We thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted, Lord. I just ask, God, that you would use these words that I'm speaking tonight, Lord, to bring healing to other people, Lord. You would receive all credit, honor, and glory for good fruit that would go forward from this broadcast tonight, Lord God. And we just ask now, Lord, for your anointing and for you to minister to each one that is tuned in this evening. We ask all these things in your glorious and holy name. Amen. So once again, welcome. And tonight we're going to be looking at part two of Comfort for the Grieving. We started this two-part series on January 8th, and the feedback that I received prompted me really and solidified my tendency to want to do a second teaching on this. The Holy Spirit also directed that we do a second, take a second look at this and delve further into the topic of grief and loss. So we'll be doing that tonight. I'll continue to be sharing biblical perspective on grief, as well as the hope that comes from God and how we can even find glimmers of beauty in the midst of our sorrow. And I'll explain what that means as we progress here this evening. I'll be sharing some devotionals that I've personally written in a best-selling book that I co-authored called A Few Words of Comfort for the Grieving, which was released in November of last year. And so before we go any further, I want to share that I personally have dealt with the loss of my father, my grandfather, my uncle, and my father-in-law. And so I approach this topic not just from an intellectual or therapeutic platform, but also from my own life experiences. And I think it's important to share that piece with you so you understand my heart behind this topic, as well as the fact that I work with clients at my practice who need help navigating through their grief or loss of some kind. I also have personally gone through many losses and have lost loved ones. And so I'm on this journey with you, as we all are, as we go through this life, and just praying that this time really ministers to you, and that you will hear words not just from what I do as a therapist, but who I am as a person. So as I stated 2 weeks ago, grief and loss don't just relate to the death of a loved one, although that's commonly and typically what we think of when we talk about grief and loss, but there's actually many different types of losses that a person can experience. In fact, I'd like to begin by sharing a couple dozen of the specific types of losses or quote-unquote grieving events, as they're sometimes referred to, that can occur in someone's life. And this is not even an exhaustive or comprehensive list. There are many different reasons why people may grieve in addition to loss or death of a loved one. And so I'm just going to list some of these for you. So divorce is one, marital separation, personal injury or illness, a marriage that does not meet expectations that were in place, dismissal from a job, retirement, change in health of a family member, an unplanned pregnancy, business readjustment, a change in financial status, change to a different line of work, the foreclosure of a loan or causing the loss of a home or property, change in responsibilities in the workplace, a child growing up and leaving home, a spouse who stops working, ending school, whether that be graduation or for other means, change in living conditions, a change in working hours or working conditions, a change in locations and residences, so when you move, for example, a change in schools, change in recreational activities due to extraneous factors, a change in churches or church activities, change in social status or social activities, change in sleeping habits, also a betrayal of trust, disapproval of a major life event or a work project, a threat to safety, and also a change in the control of the body as it pertains to a disease process or perhaps becoming ill with a chronic illness. So these are just a few events that can produce grieving and loss. There's many others. Some ways that we can view loss and grieving, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, if you tuned in, and if you didn't, the archived version is available at this link. Well, if you scroll down, you'll be able to hear part one of this teaching. But one of the ways that we need to approach loss and grieving and mourning is through the lens of Scripture, because that really gives us our strength and our perspective that we need to be able to get through heartbreak and deep, painful losses. And so the way that I practice is to always use the Bible as our platform for how we view topics like this. And the Word of God has so much to say about grief and loss, and so many scriptures that can uplift us when we're going through these times. And I'd just like to take a couple minutes now and walk through some specific ones that I pray will minister to your heart tonight. I kind of prayed over these and asked the Lord to guide me to scriptures that would be meaningful for those that are listening, and He gave me several. And so we're just going to read through these. And as I read them for you, I just pray that you would just pull them into your heart, that you wouldn't just hear them through your intellect, through your mind, but that you'd actually pull them into your heart and that they would minister to you. So Revelation 21:4 says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Psalm 147:3 says, "God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Matthew 5:1-3, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" So in other words, when we feel weak in our spirit man, we are actually blessed of the Lord because he understands that weakness. Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." John 14:1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me," meaning Jesus. Isaiah is a great book filled with comforting scriptures. And the next section is Isaiah 53:4-6. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things, even grief, even loss, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And wrapping up with Matthew 5, verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." So once again, God is giving us that promise that he will comfort us as we're mourning. And there is no greater comfort than from the Lord himself. So I hope that these verses have brought you hope and encouragement and have lifted your spirits this evening. And if you'd like to write them down, if you didn't get a chance, and you'd like to write them down to refer back to, I'll read the addresses of them again for you. Revelation 21:4, Psalm 34:18, Psalm 147:3, Matthew 5:1-3, Psalm 73:26, John 14:1, Isaiah 53:4-6, Joshua 1:9, Romans 8:28, and Matthew 5:4. At this time, I'd like to share with you some devotional readings that I've written in the book that I previously mentioned in the introduction to our program this evening. And these devotionals that I've chosen to read for you this evening fall under four different basic categories. They fall under the categories of pain, depression, loneliness, and acceptance. So as I read these, I just pray that the Lord would use them to speak to hearts that are in need of these comforting words today. I know that a lot of times grief is very difficult to discuss with other people. You may feel that the pressure that you should be over something, like I mentioned 2 weeks ago, or you may feel that no one really understands the depth of your pain or your anguish. And so as I read these to you, I just ask the Lord to help you receive them and that they would just minister straight to the point of your greatest pain and the depth of your anguish and grief that you might be going through right now. So please know that these have been prayed over for you and they've been selected to bring you hope this evening and to validate the experiences that you're going through as you process your way through grief. So let's start out with one that addresses the pain aspect of grief, and I've titled it, "Grief is Just Love with Nowhere to Go." The verse that I chose for this particular devotional is from Psalm 42:3, and it states, "My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" When I first heard the characterization that grief is just love with nowhere to go, it struck me profoundly, especially as it pertains to missing a loved one who is no longer part of our lives. It expresses clearly the sentiment that all the love that we have for that person is still within us, but now it lacks an outlet. A void has been left, cannot be filled by anyone or anything else. It's a uniquely shaped emptiness, customized for the person who has left us, whether through death, the end of a relationship, a geographical separation, or any number of other scenarios through which we can suffer the loss of a loved one. This void left by grief begs the question, what do we now do with this love that in essence has nowhere to go? As I mentioned before, I lost both of the key father figures in my life, my dad and my grandpa, within about 2 years' time of each other, and both of their deaths were devastating to me. At the time of their passing, I had just begun my career as a Christian psychotherapist, and therefore, many people close to me assumed that since I was a therapist, I should automatically know how to process through this level of pain and loss. Well, such was not the case. There's no manual for how to grieve. Yes, there are books about grief. There are self-help books, grief support groups, etc. There are even something commonly known as the five stages of grief that I referred to 2 weeks ago, identified by Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and her model of shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And of course, I knew that I had the Bible to turn to and the Lord to turn to. And that really, if we're going to look at one manual for grief, it would be God's Word. But none of this seemed to really matter at the time to my broken heart. All I knew was that I had lost my grandfather and my dad, both of whom I deeply loved, and both of whom passed away relatively in short periods of time to one another. And during that season, my tears truly did become my food, as the psalmist expresses. So when grief hits, let yourself feel your feelings. As much as they hurt, try to avoid stuffing them or distracting yourself from the pain. It will only come back up later if you do. And above all, let God's arms of comfort surround you and uphold you. Although I lost my two earthly father figures, I still knew that I had a heavenly Father who would carry me through my season of mourning and great loss. And just to add to that devotional, I think many of you may have seen a relatively famous sketch by an artist, and it's a sketch of Jesus, and he's holding a lamb close to his heart, embracing the lamb, and that really was an image that the Lord had given me right around the time of the passing of both of my father figures, that when we are in that place of just feeling so alone and so oppressed by the heaviness and the weight of grief, that we would just really call up that image of the Lord holding us. We might even have it in print form. I know I have it framed at my practice. And so it's just a beautiful image of how closely the Lord holds us when we're grieving. He does at all times, but in particular, as I just read, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And it's during those periods of times when we're apt to really sense his closeness. So some things to think about pertaining to the devotional that I just read for you, kind of some ways to walk it out is, to identify a season in your life when you could sense God's arms of comfort holding you and his loving presence healing your pain. This might very well be a season of grief. It might have been a season of a loss of some kind. In fact, that's typically when we really sense that the strongest for most of us, as I said before. But it could also be any season when you just really had the sense that God was holding you close to his heart, and just kind of ponder that. Also, kind of seek God on whether you've truly allowed yourself to feel all of your feelings if you've just gone through the loss of some kind or if you're grieving a loved one. God searches our hearts, and so we may not even know that we might subconsciously be repressing some of the painful emotions that come along with grief, but God knows if we are. And so we can ask him to search our hearts, and he'll show us if we've stuffed some of those emotions, whether out of fear or a fear that the pain would just be too overwhelming, perhaps. So I just encourage you to ask the Lord as you ponder not only how he's held you close when you've needed him, but also if there's any unprocessed feelings that you might have, they might be from decades ago. But the whole issue is that feelings buried alive never die. And so they always find a way to leak out, and they don't leak out in a good way. They typically leak out in the form of resentment or bitterness. So just encourage you to seek God on that and see if he shows you anything. The next devotional I'd like to share with you is from a section of this devotional book on depression. I entitled it, The Many Faces of Grief. And the scripture that I chose for this is Psalm 42:35, Part A, which is, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Depression tends to be the condition most often associated with grief and loss. It's a key part of the process of grieving and mourning. People tend to think that grief should look a certain way on the face of a person who's mourning. When it comes down to it, though, there's no right or wrong way to grieve, as I just mentioned, and it doesn't necessarily always involve prolonged depression, though certainly and oftentimes it can. We put ourselves in a precarious position when we judge the grief processes of others. Everyone needs to process their grief and pain in their own way, and it's important to let a person work through grief and loss without a tidy formula for what we think it should look like. For example, some people process through it by journaling their feelings, maybe even writing a letter to the deceased or an absent loved one, looking through old photographs, or spending time reminiscing with other family members. All of this is well and good. Others prefer none of the above and may choose to just pay weekly visits to the gravesite, while yet others might choose to never go to the gravesite at all just because it might be too difficult. So those who lose a loved one can even feel a sense of relief at times for various reasons, but these people are often very afraid to admit to feeling that emotion due to fear of being shamed for it or fear of being misunderstood, frankly. It's okay to feel relief. Of course, you love and miss the person you've lost, but it's not uncommon to feel that a burden has been alleviated, and especially if that someone is lost before he or she is gone. In other words, someone who has lost all recollection of who you are, who is fighting a battle that's prolonged, who is really not in touch with reality any longer, that can be extremely difficult, not just on the person in that condition, but also on the loved ones around him or her. So when losing a loved one after a prolonged state of mental or physical decline is sometimes followed by a whole mix of emotions, one of which could be a sense of relief that they're no longer suffering. So some people may choose to isolate themselves, assuming that others won't understand. Other people may use creative outlets to express their pain and grief, whether it's through drawing or painting and so forth. Some may even train for a sporting event, such as a marathon, and participate in it in honor of the deceased loved one. Some interesting facts from biblical times. In biblical times, grief was frequently processed by something that the Jewish people call sitting Shiva, which is a tradition that still carries on to this day. Family members would spend 7 days together, often at the house of the deceased loved one, sitting on low stools and sharing meals and stories about that person. And it was a way in which they chose to process their grief and also to share memories and good memories of their times with that person. And I know that this still goes on today, and I believe very therapeutic and a very healthy way to process through grief, actually. Also typical in the biblical era and culture was something called the rending of garments. In other words, those left to mourn would frequently tear or rip their garments in half while crying out in emotional pain for the loved one who has passed. And we've probably all seen imagery of such a thing where the pain is so deep that the clothing is just torn. It's just an outward manifestation of the inner pain. We need to take into account the whole range of human behavior and emotion when considering pain and grief, and we need to be cautious to not harshly judge the way someone is processing his or her particular loss, even though it might not be a way that doesn't seem to make sense to us. So I think the bottom line with this devotional that I want to convey is we all have our own unique, customized way of grieving, and that we need to respect each other in that and not impose our own set of rules on what grief should look like. So one thing to ponder based on this devotional is the many faces of grief, as we just talked about, including being downcast or depressed. So if you're going through grief right now, first of all, I would just ask that you'd allow the Lord to minister to your heart and to be the lifter of your head during this time. And secondly, if you've unknowingly judged someone negatively, or knowingly judged them negatively for how they have expressed their grief and mourning, it might be something just to take to heart that you may want to mention to them if you're still in relationship with them, and if it's appropriate to do so, that you didn't mean to cause them any shame or negative feelings for what you may have said or done to express how they, quote, should be grieving. Just a couple things to take to the Lord in prayer as you process the many faces of grief. Another devotional I'd like to share with you falls under the category of loneliness, and this is a huge piece that falls into play when we're taking into account the stages of the grieving process. This devotional I titled, He is There, and the verse I used is Romans 8:26, Part B. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I wondered as I write this, how many people reading the book have experienced the feeling of being completely and utterly alone? I'd like to think very, very few, but in reality, loneliness is part of the common human experience and condition, and it's different than just being alone. Alone is a neutral descriptor, but loneliness is a perceived emotional experience. Common times you may feel loneliness might be, for example, the first time you move away on your own as an adult to a new geographic location or make lifestyle changes that remove you from your friend circles. You can even feel lonely in the context of a relationship because you may feel understood. But our God knows us intimately. He never misunderstands us. He's never far from us, and he never leaves his children stranded. So while we may know that God is always with us, the longing for interaction with another human being can be very compelling and powerful, as well as painful, when we feel that such a connection is not available to us at a time when we most need it. As we progress through the process of grieving, we can experience moments when we feel entirely alone in our mourning. We may think to ourselves that no one else on earth could possibly feel as heartbroken, crushed, or hopeless as we do, or as alone. It's during those moments of loneliness when the Spirit of God himself intervenes and comes to our aid. God's word says that he intercedes with groanings which cannot be uttered. So think about this, the Holy Spirit himself groaning on our behalf to Elohim, the creator of the universe. In looking at the Greek word for groanings in this passage for Romans, and keeping in mind that the New Testament was originally written in Greek and the Old Testament in Hebrew, the Greek interlinear concordance reveals that stenazo, the word for groanings, has a rich range of meaning. Stenazo means to sigh, to groan, to wail, to shed tears, to weep silently, to give formal expression to grief by singing a dirge, which is a melancholy song, to weep audibly, to cry as a child, to lament, and to express grief by inarticulate or semi-articulate. There's an entire range of things going on here with just this one characterization, and that is the word stenazo in the Greek. So it amazes me that the Holy Spirit employs all of these diverse methods as he intercedes for us to our Heavenly Father. He pleads our case through sounds, not even necessarily through words in this particular passage of Scripture. That fills my heart with a brand new glimpse of understanding in terms of just how much he loves us and how we truly are never alone. Even in our darkest hours, when we think our pain can't possibly get any more intense, we can know that his Spirit is praying for us, even through mere sounds. He longs for us to truly comprehend that he will never leave us nor forsake us, much less in our time of need. This is a promise that we can count on when we feel that there is no human being there for us, but God is there. And one thing to keep in mind with this devotional is Has there ever been a time when you've doubted God's promise that he never leaves or forsakes you? What were the circumstances surrounding your life when you doubted that? It's important that we process through these things with the Lord and not just stuff them and brush it under the carpet, so to speak, and say, well, God wasn't there for me when I went through that, and I don't understand why he wasn't there. And then we end up taking offense at God, as it were, although God can never sin against us. He's incapable of sin. But we can take offense when we perceive something to be the case, even though in reality it is not the case. So if there is something that the Lord's bringing to mind where you felt that he was not there for you, just encourage you to explore that with him. And after we wind up here in a couple of minutes, maybe just get into a place by yourself with the Lord and talk to him about that when you felt that he wasn't there for you. And just let him minister to your heart. Let him speak to you and let him bring his reassurance that only he can bring, that he never left you nor forsook you. So let's wrap up tonight now with one final devotional writing I'd like to read to you. And I will say up front that this was the toughest one for me to write in this book. And I had to dig very deep in this. So really a lot of travail and time spent with God on this. And I named this one The Beauty of Sorrow. And the verse that I selected was Ecclesiastes 7, verse 3, which says, "Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better." Did you know that sorrow carries within it a certain type of beauty? We typically don't view sorrow as anything other than sadness and misery. Those are primary elements of sorrow, to be sure. But if we peel back those layers, residing within the emotion of sorrow is also a kernel of beauty. If we can accept that and embrace it, it will draw us ever closer to the heart of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He was known as a man of sorrows, according to Scripture. Does this mean that Christ was melancholy? I don't think so. But he suffered much sorrow while he walked this earth for those 33 years. His sorrows, though, clearly drew him closer to his Abba Father. There is a beauty within the human heart when we express sorrow over a loss. We get in touch with a part of ourselves that many of us try to run from instead of accept. When we accept the sorrow our heart is experiencing, we approach a new depth of emotional capacity. Our hearts deepen to take in the emotion of sorrow. We gain experience in how to approach sorrow as a natural part of our existence, rather than an emotion to be swept aside or avoided. The depth of the pain that we allow ourselves to experience through sadness, grief, and mourning happens to equal the height of the joy that we will also be able to experience. If we stop running, avoiding, numbing out, distracting, addicting, and hiding when pain strikes, what waits for us on the other side is a level of joy that we may not have otherwise had the privilege of knowing. If we stuff all of our painful emotions, we also limit our capacity to truly enter into the positive ones. By trying to numb out and not feel, we may fill in the valleys, but we also shear off the mountaintops. When the time is right for you in your loss, accept, embrace, and begin to take small steps forward on your journey. Along the way, don't forget to approach sorrow with less trepidation. It just might serve to be a friend, not a foe. Remember, the height of a mountain is best appreciated after the depth of a valley. So as we wrap up today, just ponder what I've shared with you and continue to seek God as you process your grief. Ask him if you're willing to allow yourself to deepen your emotional capacity as you go through the grieving process. Because in so doing, you also deepen your emotional capacity for joy when you come through on the other side. I hope that going more in depth on these grief-related issues that I shared with you just now, grief being love with nowhere to go, the many ways grief manifests itself, the aspects of loneliness and realizing God's presence, and the beauty that can be found within sorrow. I pray that all of these were beneficial to you in your grieving process, no matter what type of loss you may be facing. Thank you so much for listening this evening. I hope you'll join me again in 2 weeks for my next broadcast. And if you'd like to contact me directly at Healing Word, my private practice, please don't hesitate to call at 414-254-9862. If you're interested in receiving a further resource on grief and loss, please visit my website at www.healing-word.com and click on Comfort for the Grieving. A lot of the topics that I referenced this evening, as I mentioned, are from that book, should you have interest. Thank you again for listening tonight, and may God's richest blessings be upon you.